Our call to worship this morning is by the Reverend Sam Trumbor, an Easter meditation. Eternal Spirit, we witness, bringing green growth, throwing out tiny tendrils seeking support, sprouting thin twigs reaching for the bright golden sun, guiding new tubers seeking water in dark, sandy soil. Be in and amongst us this Easter morning. We gather this morning to celebrate the triumph of life over death. The body can be killed, but the spirit cannot be quenched. Only yesterday had we given up all hope of the promise of the coming divine realm, and today we are renewed and inspired as we realize it is now already here. This morning we remember that pain, suffering, and death are not ends, but can be scary underground passageways to more abundant life, if we have the courage to face our fear and crawl through, to be pushed and pulled by the mind-narrowing forces of lust, hate, and confusion. This morning, we renew our dedication to act from our love rather than our fear. We renew our faith in the inherent dignity and worth of all humanity, including ourselves, which cannot be removed from anyone, and seek the nerve to face the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune which may come our way. In our moments of defeat and surrender, may we turn away from the paths of revenge, denial, and cynicism. May we remember the eternal truth spun into the web of life. Our wounds can become sacred, incarnational teaching of the wisdom embedded in the story of resurrection. Let us celebrate together this morning the one who never gives up, even in the darkest night of winter, our blue-green planet Earth, resurrected anew each spring.
The Aztec creation story starts with the first four worlds and their suns. Five worlds were created, each with its own sun, each following upon the death of the preceding one. The first world was illuminated by the sun of Earth. The people of this world acted improperly, so the gods punished them by causing jaguars to feast upon their flesh. No one survived, and their son dies along with them.
The second world was illuminated by the sun of air. Its people acted without wisdom. So hurricane winds descended upon the earth, and the people were punished by turning into apes. Their son dies when they became animals.
The third world was illuminated by the sun of fire. Its people acted without respect and reverence for the gods, refusing to sacrifice to them. So they were punished by earthquakes, volcanic eruptions of fiery ash, and other forms of flaming death. Their sun burned along with them.
The fourth world was illuminated by the sun of water. The great god Quetzalcoatl created a race of human beings from ash. The people were very greedy, so they were punished by a great flood. Their son drowned when most of the people were transformed into fish.
The supreme being tried to save one human couple from the deluge. His voice came to them and said, "Find a mighty tree, make a hole in the trunk large enough to hide in, and take refuge there until the flood waters recede. You will survive if you master your greed and eat only one corn cob each." The two eagerly obeyed the instructions of the supreme being. They found a great tree, took refuge in it, and survived the flood.
When the waters had receded, they looked upon a strange world. Fish lay twitching on the ground where animals had once roamed. "Why should we gnaw on a corn cob when fish are so plentiful?" they asked one another. They proceeded to break off twigs from their tree, make a fire, and roast one of the fish. The gods smelled the savory smoke and became enraged at the greed and disobedience of this couple. They descended upon them in wrath, and then they transformed them into dogs. The fifth world and its sun. Before the gods created the fifth world, our own world, they gathered together in the darkness to choose who would illuminate it by creating the fifth sun, the sun of four movements. This sun would combine within it the earlier four elements of earth, air, fire, and water. One wealthy god, lavishly dressed in shining feathers of the hummingbird and in the jewels of turquoise and gold, volunteered, thinking more about the praise he would receive than about what the deed would entail. "One will not be enough for this great deed," the god said. "We need a second volunteer." Each god remained silent. Finally, the gods asked, "Will you help us, Nanahatsun?"
Nanahatsun looked up in surprise. Never before had he been worthy of their attention. He knew that the other gods despised him because he was misshapen, ugly, covered with disgusting-looking sores, and dressed in clothing made from woven reeds.
"If you will help us bring forth a fifth world, we will truly value you," they said.
"If you wish it, I will do it," Nanahatsun replied.
The two gods spent the next 4 days purifying themselves for the sacrifice. Then they approached the blazing fire upon the stone altar with their best gifts. The customary offerings were hay, dead branches, cactus needles, and bloody thorns. However, the wealthy god made a mighty show as he offered nuggets of gold, rich feathers, and gems. Nanahatsun's offering seemed scanty as he placed in the fire 3 bundles of 3 green reeds, hay, the scabs from his sores, and thorns covered with his own blood. All of the gods then built a towering pyramid of stone, made a bonfire on top of it, and let it burn for 4 nights while they too purified themselves. Finally, they said to the wealthy god, "We are ready. Now perform the deed that you said you would do. Light up the world."
"How do you expect me to do this?" the wealthy god asked.
"You must leap into the center of the flames," the gods replied.
The wealthy god's heart filled with terror, but he was ashamed to go back on his word. 4 times he gingerly approached the flaming bonfire, and 4 times he retreated in the face of the terrifying flames and the great heat. "I know I volunteered, but I just cannot do this," he admitted in shame.
Then Nanahatsen, it is your turn to perform this great deed, the gods said.
So Nanahatsen forced courage into his heart and jumped into the flames. As the fire burned away his life, his blazing clothing lighted up the sky and gave life to the sun. The wealthy, cowardly god felt that he had no choice but to follow Nanahatsen's brave example. So he too gathered the courage to sacrifice his life, and he cast himself into the flames. But because Nanahatsen had courageously led the way, from that time forth, it was he who was honored among the gods. Many even say that Nanahatsen was a form of the great god Quetzalcoatl. Quetzalcoatl, the light one, and Tezcatlipoca, the dark one, looked down from the sky and saw only water below. A monstrous goddess floated upon the water, eating whatever she could find with her many mouths, for every joint in her body contained eyes sharp enough to spot any source of food and mouths that bit like wild animals.
We must find some way to stop that goddess from devouring whatever we create, the two gods say to one another.
So it came to pass that the two great gods transformed themselves into two huge serpents. One of them quickly grabbed the goddess by her arms, while the other quickly grabbed her by the feet. Then, before she could resist, they pulled until she broke apart in the middle. Her head and shoulders became the earth, while the lower part of her body rose into the sky and became the heavens.
The other gods were very angry at what Quetzalcoatl and Tezcatlipoca had done to the goddess. They came down to earth and decided to give her gifts that would compensate her for her mutilation. They decreed that whatever human beings needed for survival, she would provide. They created trees, tall grass, and flowers from her hair. Fine grasses and tiny flowers from her skin. Small caves. Fountains and wells from her eyes. Large caves and rivers from her mouth. Hills and valleys from her nose. And mountains from her shoulders.
The goddess is often unhappy. Sometimes in the night, people can hear her crying. Then they know that she is filled with a ravenous thirst. Whenever this thirst comes upon her, the goddess will not provide the fruits of the soil and will not stop crying until human hearts have quenched her thirst. She who provides sustenance for human lives demands human lives in return for her own sustenance. So it has always been, so it will ever be.
The creation of human beings. In the fifth world, our own world, the great god Quetzalcoatl prepared to create a new race of human beings. First, he decided that his creations must have nourishing food to eat. He set forth across the face of the earth, stopping to examine every plant and animal to see what particular food would be best for his people. Finally, he collected enough corn in his secret hoard to enable him to teach his people to plant it and produce a crop for themselves. Quetzalcoatl was now ready to turn his attention to the second part of his plan, the creation of our present race of human beings. Each day he flew across the heavens from east to west, following the path of the sun. Each night he traveled through the underworld from west to east, emerging at dawn. During one of his night journeys through the underworld, Quetzalcoatl decided to find the Lord of the Deadland and take the first step toward creating the new race of human beings.
I would like you to give me the bones of my father that are buried in this land, he said to the Lord of the Deadland.
Why should I do you this favor, Quetzalcoatl? The Lord of the Deadland asked. Whatever is buried belongs to me. What do you intend to do with these bones?
Quetzalcoatl replied, these bones are very dear to me, since they are all that remains of my father. The gods want another race of human beings to live upon the earth, and I intend to create them from my father's bones.
Here they are, then, the Lord of the Deadland replied. The bones will be yours once you perform the deed I require of you. Take this conch shell in one hand and carry the bones of your father in the other hand. Blow into the shell, making a great sound as you walk four times around that circle of jade.
Quetzalcoatl took the bones and the conch shell from the Lord of the Deadland and began to walk around the jade circle. Once Quetzalcoatl had successfully blown on the conch, as he walked around the circle, the Lord of the Deadland begrudgingly said he could take the bones. The hero's journey is never easy. Quetzalcoatl faced many challenges on his return to the heavens. After a particularly scary encounter, he fainted. When Quetzalcoatl awakened, he wept with grief at his plight. Oh, my animal god, he cried. What should I do now?
Do not despair, was the reply. Make the best of it and continue your journey.
Quetzalcoatl gathered up the bones that the birds had pecked into tiny pieces, wrapped them as best he could, and returned with them as he intended.
The goddess Coatlicue, Snake Woman, ground the bits of his father's bones into bone meal and placed it in a jade bowl. Then Quetzalcoatl pierced his body and moistened the meal with his own blood. From this mixture, he molded the new race of human beings. Thus ends our story. You might be wondering why we decided to tell an Aztec creation story this morning, this Easter morning, the day before Earth Day. Well, the concept of resurrection, which of course is the crux of the matter in terms of Easter, is common in many cultures and their myths. And you saw the world resurrected again and again during this story from the Aztec tradition. In this Aztec creation story, the gods had to recreate the world five times before they were confident that things would be the way they had envisioned. The fifth world and its sun incorporated the four elements from the first four worlds, earth, air, water, and fire. The fifth world was resurrected out of the other four. The effort to remake the world was collaborative. Each of the gods helped to bring it into being. but their actions were not always in perfect harmony with each other. There is a give and take to all that is created. Life and death are interwoven with each other. What rises out of each dying into new life? Human beings also had to be created anew again and again. During the lifespan of each of the first four worlds, the people acted in ways that brought about their own end. Even the two humans saved by the Supreme Being from the deluge disobeyed the gods. In a lecture on eco-theological worldviews, John Chrysaphagus from the American Greek Orthodox Church, which is why I had trouble saying his name, put it this way. Whenever we reduce things to ourselves, we cut ourselves off from heaven. Then we need to come back into covenant. We have to repair the relationship and be reborn. In the final part of the Aztec creation story, human beings are recreated yet again out of old bones and blood, and presumably this time they act better to take care of the earth and all of creation. We don't know. The story left us there. Have we? How do we view and perceive the earth, the created world of which we are a part? How do we celebrate and respond to creation? Do we learn the song that nature sings? How do we treat creation? How might we relate the resurrection story that is Easter to what Earth Day calls upon us to do? Earth Day asks us to save our planet as well as ourselves from death and extinction, to unite peacefully in a shared mission of bringing new ways of living into being. Over the course of history, we human beings have acted improperly, without wisdom, without respect and reverence for creation. Greed and a lust for power seem to rule much of how humanity relates towards each other and towards creation. Some would say that these sins unite us more than our virtues do. We must accept that in the past, we have not always noticed the effects of our choices. It is time. In fact, it is way past time that we choose to make less of a negative impact on creation. Is it too late to make a difference? Scientists are beginning to suggest that we have passed the tipping point relative to global climate change and the impending climate reversal. I believe that regardless, we must still do everything within our human capabilities to change our behavior. We are learning how to be better caretakers of our resources. We can be instrumental in reviving, resurrecting soil, water, and air. We have already had success in decreasing pollution of these necessities for all life since the silent spring that Rachel Carson wrote about in 1962. And the first Earth Day teach-ins about the environment in 1970. Lakes and rivers have been cleaned up. Wildlife populations are rebounding. Forests are being replanted. Crop rotation and organic farming are resurrecting our spent soils. And we must continue our constant efforts to reduce, reuse, and recycle, to care for this beautiful blue boat home of ours, because we are all in this boat together. The following is an adaptation of a climate blessing from Interfaith Power and Light titled, "We Hold the Earth." Would you join me in the spirit of prayer? We hold our human siblings who suffer from storms and droughts intensified by climate change. We hold all species that suffer. We hold world leaders delegated to make decisions for life. We pray that the web of life may be mended through courageous actions to limit carbon emissions. We pray for right actions for adaptation and mitigation to help our already suffering Earth community. We pray that love and wisdom might inspire my actions and our actions as communities, so that we may, with integrity, look into the eyes of our human siblings and all beings and truthfully say, we are doing our part to care for them and the future of the children. May love transform us and our world with new steps towards life. Amen. Are you there, Beth?
I am.
I'll say it again. Gloria.
The tenacity of Earth and its creatures.
Kyrie eleison.
These children who will go on to save what we cannot.
Baruch atah Adonai.
The ordinary tenacity of plants and of people.
Om.
The center of the universe, which is everywhere, not the least placed in the human heart.
Alleluia.
Love that survives anger and winter and despair and sorrow and even death.
Shalom.
Love that persists.
Nam mio ho renge kyo.
Calm that is the seed in the dark.
Amen.
For endings that are beginnings, for beginnings that are endings.
Alleluia.
For the circle, the spiral, the web, the egg, the orbit, the center, the seed, the flower, the fruit, the opening, the death, the release, the seed.
Amen.
We are going on.
Amen.
It is going on.
Amen. Let us all say,
blessed be.
We extinguish this chalice, for the worship has ended. Our service begins.